This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The journey it's taken to get here, for all this history.
The long journey is over. McElroy has his masterpiece.
Jim Nantz, CBS, with the call. Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on a Tolo Tuesday. Thanks for waking up with us, turning it on, leaving it on DFW Sports Station. Rory McIlroy is now off the Masters hook. Who is the next tortured sports soul? RJ Choppy asked the question.
Yep. So he's got the golf grand slam. He won the Masters. There are guys who are great in their sport, but haven't either won the championship or a specific tournament in a sport like golf, or if some come super close, their talent is just so vast, they should have more skins on the wall than they do.
By the way, Bobby, the Masters final round averaged 12.7 million viewers. That makes it the most watched golf telecast on any network in 7 years.
Ooh.
In your face.
Wow. Only 7 million down from Caitlin Clark's final four game. Which I also didn't watch.
Was it 12 million?
It was like 19.
It was like 19. Oh. Yeah. The men's tournament did a similar number this year in the final. This is an overall good tournament from a TV viewing standpoint, which, I mean, a lot of big dogs, a lot of big time programs in there.
Which makes no sense when you talk about the
Cinderella.
No, regular season college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Interest levels seemingly plummeting.
Yeah, it's non-existent. I mean, it's very low. If you're not a gambler, you're probably not watching regular season college basketball all that much. So these are some guys who have not won the championship or should have more skins on the wall. So in baseball, Mike Trout. He's only played in one playoff series. That was his rookie year. They got swept.
You usually make an Arlington pilgrimage to go and watch Trout play. Are you over and past that now with the Angels in town tonight?
I'm not over and past it. Unfortunately, with us leaving, we got too much to get to. I can't make it out this week. Plus, Luca's got a doubleheader tomorrow, and they got practice tonight, so I just won't have the time to go. I'll try to get there the next time he's in town. Unfortunately, he'll be hurt.
Trout on the year is hitting 196.
Doesn't he lead league in homers?
He's tied with six.
Yeah.
Yep. 834 OPS.
Wow.
And okay. He has the 11th most runs batted in.
Wow. He's just not getting actual base hits. So Trout's, well, Aaron Judge is the other one in Major League Baseball who doesn't have a championship. That's a great player. Soto's got one. He won it as like a 20-year-old. But now with the contract, he's probably going to need more to go into that, like, you know, that next stratosphere of player. But for the most part, baseball, if you're great, you've got one right now.
Yeah, why is it that baseball feels so much more different than basketball and football?
Because you have the least amount of control.
Yeah.
That's why.
Like, who's been the all-time answer for baseball as like the guy who never won one?
I mean, it was A-Rod. It was A-Rod for a while. It was Kershaw for a while.
Bonds.
Bonds, yes. It was Verlander never won one until late.
But it's weird. It's just weird. We don't seem to think about it at all in the same terms.
No. Yeah. You have the least amount of control.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Trout.
I can't call Mike Trout has never called a choker.
No.
Because the Angels suck.
Right. Now you could call
it's the only injury he doesn't have.
Brad's the only injured. You know, like you could call, you know, that he never made the play, that he never wanted to leave. You could say, you could question how much he wants to win because he never demanded to get out.
Too early for Judge on me, and this may sound crazy. I don't put Soto in a category like that, not important enough or big enough name to make this list.
Yeah, his issue is like he's a hitter. That's it. Like, you know, Trout was a really good fielder in his prime. Judge is a really good fielder. Soto, just he's out there. He's filling out the lineup.
I don't put him in that stratosphere
of
name.
That's fair. NFL, you've got Josh Allen. You've got Lamar. You got Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow is, I mean, he's...
It feels like I wrote down Lamar and Allen.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And it feels like so much more pressure on those two than Burrow.
Allen, Lamar, and then to me it's Burrow.
Why do you put Allen over Lamar?
Because, I mean, to me, I think Allen's whole... We had talked about this a little bit near the end of the season. I think Allen's reputation is bordering on right now. He's heading towards like a Dan Marino type of conversation. Where he's just... If he is somebody who should have been in a position to win a bunch of different of these games. Like, there have been several opportunities where he should have won. He should have beat Cincinnati and Buffalo the year he didn't. He's been in a position to beat Kansas City where they've been better than Kansas City, and he can't do it. And so, I mean, like, it's...
So you think...
Allen's either going to be Peyton or he's going to be Marino.
Who has more to gain? Like, Lamar wins the title, Allen wins the title. Who jumps the stratosphere more?
Allen.
But Lamar's a two-time MVP.
Right, so I think people already just look at it like, the guy's got no help. But, I mean, he's done everything he can. Whereas with Allen, they're like, you are responsible ultimately for whether this works or not.
Yeah, if...
Lamar definitely has pressure. I just think Allen is... I think Allen is definitively above him of, like, you need to win one.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, with two MVPs and maybe he might get a third, Lamar's going to go to the Hall with two MVPs. You know, like... Allen, I think, eventually will get there, too. But if he only has the one MVP and never wins a title, you know, I think you can make a case where people are coming in with mm-hmm. with baseball. Bryce Harper, another one.
Okay.
And that's fair. That's fair on that. NBA.
Used to have this for pitchers, but now we didn't even mention a pitcher. Like, Braves pitchers. We'd be like, yeah. Maddux. Maddux had a choke label. Yeah,
you know, they don't throw enough anymore. Like, nobody throws.
Yep.
Nobody goes deep into games anymore. The dominant starting pitcher is non-existent. NBA, Luka, obviously, he's never won a championship.
Yeah, I think there's one clear number one on this one.
Kevin Durant.
It's Durant. And Durant's won before, but...
We really should spend more time, and I don't know why we're not. Maybe it says something about his star power, of what Kevin Durant's recent seasons have done to his legacy,
his
if anything.
His post-Golden State.
And by the way, they fire Budenholzer yesterday. They're going to pay him $40 million, I think, or something. $10 million for the next four years. How
million.
Many coaches in how many years, you think?
So it's three coaches in 3 years. They had Monty, Frank Vogel, and now Budenholzer. I mean, Ishbia is...
Tepper.
He's Tepper. He's David Tepper. He's psychotic.
But Kevin Durant has to be held on the hook for a lot of what happened here and in Brooklyn. Yeah. To have the highest payroll, and you didn't make the play-in?
Yeah.
Budenholzer fighting with Devin Booker? Don't worry, we'll end up with Kevin Durant here at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even think of him because he's got rings. So I didn't even think of him.
But you and I have discounted his rings. I don't know off the top of my head how many rings Kevin Durant has.
Two?
Okay. I don't know it. I have to think about it.
That's an interesting one. I never thought of it. I like it. I like it. I was...
Honestly, it's anybody from that Oklahoma City collection, Harden, Westbrook, Durant, they all have, to some extent, this.
Yeah, but Durant has the most to gain and lose.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, it's over for Westbrook.
It's over for Westbrook.
No one cares. Harden. I don't care unless, you know, he takes over in a series.
If this keeps going, like, obviously he's so young now that I don't think it's there yet, but I mean, if Luka gets to 31 and he hasn't won one yet, he's going to become a blinking
light.
He
will. SGA will if he gets there and doesn't win one.
I feel like some people will always give you a break for being in Oklahoma City.
I agree.
I think it's all the same thing with Dame. He got a break for being in Portland.
Yeah, but Dame to the Soto thing, he's not important enough to be in this conversation. Okay. No disrespect.
Yep. Golf, I think Bryson at the Masters is the next one. Spieth could win a Grand Slam if he wins the PGA. Like, so he's on that. Ricky Fowler's never won one. I think his career's kind of over, though. So there's not really a great one for golf other than maybe Bryson or Spieth. Spieth having to win that PGA to get that.
Those were the names I had.
Career Grand Slam.
Dale on the FanCam YouTube and Twitch says Denny Hamlin in NASCAR.
A lot of people saying Jamie Benn.
Chase Elliott, Jamie Benn.
On the Fantex.
We got some people here in the building who maybe want Jamie Benn to roll out early. I'm not going to mention any names right now, but some Jamie Benn questioning taking place.
The Cowboys or Jerry. Jerry without Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. That's probably number one.
But see, I think the only thing about Jerry without Jimmy is I don't know if he could win enough that anybody would ever credit him.
True.
Like, I think he's just, I don't know that he'll ever have. Dak, I mean, honestly, Dak's legacy doesn't take a jump. But if it, like, in terms of, it's not like a thing where he jumps into a different stratosphere. But Dak's probably somewhere in the top 10 of, like, you need to win to justify what you've gotten.
Yeah. I mean, I throw him in the category of, it's even probably disrespectful to Damian Lillard and Soto because Dak's not as good as them. But Dak's not important enough for this conversation. But the star on the helmet, the cowboy thing. What about...
Dirk was like that till he won.
Yeah.
People are saying Embiid, Luka...
Is Rodgers...
Booker.
Embiid's a good one, but that's over.
Is Rodgers the Rodgers. Durant factor?
I had Rodgers written down first, but I'm like, that's over and done with.
It's over and done
with. Right, it's settled at this point. But it is odd how I get... I guess it's just because...
What about TJ?
TJ? Pizzata?
No, what?
man, I don't ever think of... I guess with the NFL, I don't really tend to think of people other than quarterbacks.
How about quarterbacks a lot in coaches? General? How about any one of those loser brothers getting out of the wild card round?
Well, I mean, it's over for JJ.
Who are the coaches right now?
Did you swerve to take your JJ shot?
Just messing.
Coaches, it's Shanahan, right?
Yes, Shanahan's I would say one. Shanahan, yeah.
Well, it depends.
He's been in the mountain twice and never went over it.
It depends. Do you want to talk about the second title to get you into the hall, or you want to talk about the first title?
The first title, just as like, did you ever do enough?
Did you see everyone talk about the aging of Kyle Shanahan at the meetings?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He has gotten quite old.
Holy crap.
I mean, if you're talking about just to win the first, it's Shanahan. Win the second and get in the hall is who? I mean, that's a lot. That's probably a big part of why McCarthy continues to want to coach.
Do you see the age?
First of all, how narrow is he? Look how skinny he is. Slender. My gosh.
Judge's shoulders.
Yeah.
Skipping shoulder day, Choppy.
Yes, he is. Boy, he does look old.
Sean Payton.
Cow.
Payton is probably on this list.
Tomlin. Another Peyton stratosphere. Tomlin.
Everybody just seems to, like, I think, give Annoying Tomlin us. A pass. Like, where it's just like.
I'm really agreeing with you in this segment.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I wonder how much pressure there is or how much it'll change his legacy if Bill wins to some extent in North Carolina.
Yeah, what if Bill goes to the playoff? Which is possible.
If Bill goes to the playoff, then people, they'll never say you're the reason for Brady anymore, I don't think, because he did go to Tampa, but they'll just say equal. They get equal share.
Yeah. I mean, look, if he goes, it's very possible that they go to the playoff. The ACC is not great.
You know who it feels like can't do any more to add, and it's really weird?
Nico?
Andy Reid.
Yeah,
right.
It feels Andy Reid is in this area of like, we're never going to put him next to Bill or better than Bill. And I don't know if he wins another one. Like, I don't know how many off. Does he have three titles?
I would say, I think three.
I lose track of his titles too.
So I'll tell you this. If Andy were somehow to leave Kansas City.
What if Sirianni gets a second one?
Right? If Andy were somehow to leave Kansas City and go to another team and take that team to the postseason without Mahomes, you know, now you might be, that might be able to help his legacy. There's nothing he can do in Kansas City because everyone right now is just giving the credit to Pat.
It does. I mean, Belichick got way more credit in New England than Andy gets. People love and respect Andy.
Is it because, though, that
they don't like Andy has gotten 50 times more credit than Sirianni gets.
But like, was Bill before he won the Super Bowls in New England, like, he obviously had a decent run in Cleveland, but it didn't feel like people were like all-time choker. Andy was all-time choker before he won in Kansas City. So he's had to like reverse a lot of damage too.
What if Dan Campbell gets one?
When he gets one, he'll get one.
Reitman back there pumping his fist.
Yeah, I mean, look, that would help him, obviously. I mean, I think he's genuinely thought of as like a great leader, like X's and O's coach. Nobody puts him in an X, but he's just a great leader of men.
All right, so the next tortured sports soul is who after Rory gets his green jacket. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. Tex-Mex or barbecue? The number one question for the newest superstar in DFW last night. Next.
The second team in the NHL to do that this year. Now, a little give and go, and a pass, and a score! Alex DeBrincat on an absolute thing of beauty. What a play by Kane to set him up, and DeBrincat's got the goal to put the Wings back on top.
Red Wings television with the call. It happened again in the third period to your Dallas Stars. They lose their sixth straight. They had leads against Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Vancouver yesterday. And in all four of the games, failed to grab 2 points. Gavin Spittle with this note, it's staggering. When they're sitting there in the third period, there's a minus 13 goal differential. That's 32nd in the National Hockey League. And during this losing streak, goals against, first period 5, second period 4, third period 20. 20 goals against in the third period and overtime. They have not outshot anyone in the last 15 games since Anaheim. Sagan hopefully will help. He's supposed to come back tomorrow. Spits and Suds with more hockey info as they lose again.
And real quick, they have not outshot anyone in the last 15 games.
And you know, they have not outshot anyone in the last 15 games.
What's the joke?
I did that last week while you were out. I went full choppy. He read a stat, and literally right after that, I read it again.
I read it again.
So I'm just trying to keep up the consistency.
So the rest of the show, he kept saying the same thing.
I'm trying to keep up consistency. Look, Money Puck doesn't have a lot on third period specifics, and so I got to repeat what I hear from others.
How do you think their focus level was last week, Pepe? You guys cut off your mics.
As the week went on, it got better. It was early in the week that I think it was a little off.
Opposite. Aiden back there gave me a little iffy. Little 50-50 iffy.
So it got tense sometimes, you know, but
it got tense?
I think so. Not on air. They didn't show it on air, but I think there was sometimes maybe one guy got annoyed with the other.
Reveal the group text.
Yeah.
Group text.
That's what he does. He empties the group text. Yeah, we're just choking each other out during
but
the
focus on air. What grade would you give it?
B+.
Oh!
There were some good segments. A lot of good content with the Luka thing last week. I think they nailed that.
I was always a C student, so B+, I'll take it.
All right. So the Stars lose again as they wait out the end of the regular season before the Avs.
70% for Money Puck, by the way.
No one cares.
That's it. Just get to the postseason. And, you know, it's funny. The Stars are still, like, the favorites to win the whole thing. But if you go,
are they still the favorites?
Yeah, it depends on where you're going. Like some play, Bovada has them as the favorite, but I've also seen them at 9-1, so it's a little bit different in certain other spots. But if you were to go and just bet Stars Avs, you know, you got to lay more juice to bet the Avalanche right now. It's a little strange, that they would be the favorites, but also on the same website have to bet more to win less or to win the same amount. On Colorado.
ESPN Bet has Dallas tied as the betting favorite right now, plus 700 to win the cup. And then they're tied with the Panthers, and then Colorado's plus 750.
You have to bet more juice to bet the Avs?
Yeah, so right now, on Bovada, that's the only place I could find a place to bet. You got to bet minus 115 to bet the Avs, and it's minus 105 for the Stars. So it's almost even.
Okay.
It's almost even, but you know, you're giving away a little bit more of the vigorous.
We have our Luka replacement.
With the first pick in the 2025 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Paige Beckers, University of Connecticut.
Bobby Belt, serious question.
Uh-huh.
Will she have a better WNBA career than Caitlin Clark?
Yeah. Yeah, because she's good. Like she actually can play basketball a little bit.
You like that?
Yeah, she's not just out there throwing up, you know, Hail Mary threes.
Chucking.
Can't actually
dribble. Caitlin Clark, the Trae Young of the WNBA.
No, she's more like Brian Cardinal. Like she can't even dribble. She just takes the post up shot. Like she's just catch and shoot. No air on that jump shot. That's all she's got.
The Dallas Wings select the UConn superstar coming off the national championship. Paige Beckers, selling out the tickets, selling out some of the jerseys. And last night on ESPN, I recorded her message to DFW.
Before I was asked about Tex-Mex versus barbecue, I was unfamiliar with the term Tex-Mex, so that's my pick. But Dallas, I'm so excited. Just a new city, a new start, a fresh start, and so I'm excited. Let's get it.
Where's Paige Beckers originally from? Who knows?
California.
No. She would know, you'd think, Tex-Mex in California.
I would hope so, but you never.
She is from Florida.
No.
North Dakota.
Minnesota.
Oh, he's close.
Okay, so Minnesota. Minnesota. And she said, I didn't know the phrase, so I am going to pick that one. So
very disappointing. I mean, they're on I-35. Same highway.
Going to go with the Tex-Mex over barbecue.
So she's saying she wasn't from, she's been asked it previously, I guess is what she's saying. Because she said
she was not familiar with the term Tex-Mex, so she's picking that.
She said, when I was first asked, I thought is what she said. So I think she had asked previously, said barbecue, and now she's changing it up. She's like, now I now that I know that what it means, I'm picking that. But also, I think she thinks for some reason Tex-Mex is more Texas than barbecue, which I think they're both thoroughly Texan.
What are you picking?
Barbecue.
In terms Same. Of like what I would prefer or what I would recommend, like
prefer.
You're gonna. Oh, Tex-Mex. Mexican food is the one seed. It's the one seed of food groups. I don't think
over Italian.
I think it's more versatile. I think it's more versatile. Nobody goes to Italian for happy hour. Nobody goes, let's go to happy hour and get some, get some meatballs.
Get some mussels.
Yeah, some mussels. No, you go to happy hour, you get chips and salsa. Okay? You get some queso. You get some guac. It's the one seed. And I think it's also more difficult to find good Mexican elsewhere across the country.
So I would say if you're telling me I'm getting good barbecue versus good Tex-Mex, I'm taking barbecue. But I will say it's a much bigger crapshoot here in DFW if I'm walking in to get good barbecue versus good Tex-Mex. I generally feel like Tex-Mex places around here are going to be okay.
I agree.
Because of the green egg, because of the Traeger, because of the pellet grills, you could find good barbecue in a lot more places to me than you could find good Mexican. I am a Mexican food snob.
I disagree with you big time. Oh, I actually think. Ooh, I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm just back second day.
Say it.
No. What do you order at your Tex-Mex place? Your entree. Give me your top two entrees.
It's about a lot of time, but fajitas are easy. Carne asada.
Okay.
I like the steak relleno.
Okay. The chili pepper.
Yeah, it's like a steak inside a pet with whatever.
All right.
Cream
okay.
cheese, whatever.
All right.
Usually I'm not an enchiladas guy.
I am green chili enchiladas, sour cream enchiladas, fajitas. That's kind of.
I'm picking barbecue. Obviously, tomorrow's a meat church Wednesday. How about Pittman cooking for the Cowboys? Cooking crawfish for the Cowboys yesterday, but it's a much, much, in my opinion, bigger gamble to walk in and get barbecue versus Tex-Mex.
You can get both. You can get Texacue.
You can. Thank you.
Yes, you can.
Brandon Hurtado. Pepe, what are you going with?
I'm torn in between, but I lean barbecue on this one. Tex-Mex is so good, and some people on the YouTube fan cam and Twitch, Mr. Scott, 1958, says barbecue isn't Texas. So you get a lot of mix and match there. Tex-Mex ain't Mexican food from Poncho. But yeah, I'm leaning barbecue here.
By the way, and Poncho, saying the Tex-Mex ain't Mexican food, I think that is important, Chop, because you would basically use them interchangeably. I don't view them as
It doesn't matter. It's like, it's like Northern Italian and Southern. It's you're getting pasta with white sauce or red. It's pasta. You're getting it. I don't want to get into this whole Dalton Schultz, California versus Texas. Mexican food. The problem that you guys are going to run into with your barbecue is that you can get great Mexican food in Texas and California. That's maybe Arizona a little bit.
I'm keeping this within the state.
Yeah, you could find if you were to move to
Maryland, I can't get barbecue.
You could make it. You could make it.
Okay,
just as good as you can make it here.
But I'm talking about going into places. I'm talking about if I go into 10 restaurants, if I go into 10 barbecue restaurants and 10 Tex-Mex, mm-hmm. I guarantee the Tex-Mex entrees will be closer than the barbecue.
I'm going to leave those.
In Maryland?
You here. Have, in Texas.
Oh, in Texas.
In DFW. The rice is going to be the rice. The beans are going to be the beans. Fajitas are generally all going to be the same. And the chips and salsa are all going to generally be the same. Period.
Which means it's better.
What? So, no, it's more consistent.
I'm saying the variable
in the barbecue is a bigger gamble.
Oh, it's definitely a bigger gamble here. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because that's the if I go to those 10 restaurants, nine or 10 of them were good probably. Like, yeah, I got good food. If I go into 10 barbecue places, I'm going to say maybe 6 of them were good.
Yes.
But those 6 are probably going
to
be great.
And my point is, and I agree, Tex-Mex is easier to match.
Yeah. Oh, that's not... I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if somebody was coming to Texas, I'd be like, go to Mexican food. That's the first thing you need to do.
So if you go to Jersey or New York,
mm-hmm. the plate
of Mexican food, the Mexican food experience, you think would be another planet compared
to
here?
I'm expecting ketchup as salsa.
Okay.
All right. And then, you know, because as the fan text said, you could get good barbecue in New York City, which I have no idea. Maybe you can now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know there's like these Brooklyn places that want to have.
Every city has a...
Yeah.
You know, there's a pizza place apparently in San Antonio that,
right.
You know, sells
great.
4 pizzas a day. And as I try to get in line, they're, you know, don't want to make money. You can find a place.
You can find a place. I would think when I lived in Jersey, now granted, this was mid 90s, Chili's was the best Mexican food you can get there.
Right.
Like that was it. Like, you know, it's only because they had chips and salsa, it was the only place that had it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being regional snob. I feel like I don't even want to try barbecue outside of Texas.
I won't.
And whereas a Tex-Mex restaurant, I will stop in a Tex-Mex restaurant in any state.
The thing that I like here is...
wouldn't try barbecue if you went to Memphis?
I've tried barbecue in Memphis and St. Louis and Carolina, and they were not good.
Texas, it doesn't separate itself with Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex, to me, is that basic B. Where Texas separates itself is elevated Mexican food. Like that place that we went in Arizona the first time.
Yeah.
That was different Mexican food. It wasn't just enchiladas and, you know, fajitas.
I don't remember what it was called.
You don't need to remember because when we took Eric and Zach, it sucked. And we're never going to go back there. But there's... I don't want to give out free advertising. There's Brian Purdy's favorite place where we...
Yeah.
It's got a cigar lounge. It's green salsa.
Yeah, the old catcher for the Braves, last name Lopez.
Yes. That's... elevated Mexican food.
That's good.
That to me separates Texas. Tex-Mex, I can get Tex-Mex. So there it is. All based off of Paige Beckers. Can you get the shower pressure that you need? Is this actually a real thing, RJ Choppy? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it is.
So Seinfeld episode.
This is what Peyton wanted to come back as.
Say goodbye to crappy showers where the soap never leaves. Trump has signed an executive order banning low-flow shower heads. You environmental hippies, okay? You hippies.
They're eating the dogs.
I don't know anyone who would not get behind this, okay? He is banning.
In the shower.
Low-flow shower heads. He said, it made it very hard to wash this beautiful hair of mine. This wonderful hair. I couldn't even get it wet. Didn't even get a little bit wet. Not even a wet. And he's banning these. He's scrapping the multi-thousand word regulation defining the word shower head, going back to the old regular flow. So that will return the shower head water flow standards to 2.5 gallons per minute that have been in place since 1992. He goes, I like to take a nice shower and take care of my beautiful hair. I don't want to stand in the shower for 15 minutes until it gets wet. It comes out drip. Drip, drip. It's ridiculous.
I can't remember the last time this has ever been a thing for me. I can't remember the last time I've been in the shower and I'm like, this is not strong enough. Maybe in a hotel. Maybe.
A hotel.
Never in my house.
This came up the other...
I've never been yearning for more RPMs coming out of my shower.
This may be the my own ignorance, but have you ever heard of soft versus hard water?
Yes.
Yeah, I've not heard that.
Really?
No, we talked about it the other day. I think Kristen had mentioned something about it because I was like, why is the soap not coming off? She's like, soft water. Yeah. I was like, I've never heard of that. And Chop had heard of it.
So all soft water really is water that is actually, I think it's more pure because it takes the oils out of your skin. And that's just the oils. But my parents' house is older and they don't have this low flow. They got a Speakman. That's the brand.
It sounds like another Seinfeld character. It's, I know. Hello, Speakman.
It's got a Speakman. This thing will take your skin off. I get in there. I lather. I have to turn the water to lather up. Off. I got to turn it off to lather up. I put that thing back on, and I don't have to shave my chest. Hair's ripped off. Ripped right off. I love this thing. It's a great shower head. So yeah, man. This is good.
Cowboy fans have been afraid of Mel Kiper. Not this morning. Mel Kiper has changed his mind. Bobby has the very latest pick on the home of the Cowboys in B-Low.
B-Belt.
Next on 105.3 The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
You can finally rejoice, Cowboys fans. Mel Kiper has changed his pick for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mel Kiper Jr.
He had been very committed for several months to Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina. I still remember when the first mock draft popped up. We were in the middle of a segment, and I just opened it up, and I looked, and I shuddered to where Sean had to stop down and go, like, what was that reaction for? He's like, listen at 840, because Mel Kiper just did something terrifying. And then he doubled down on it in his next mock. And then in his third mock last week, he put him there again. But this time he waffled a little. He said, you know what? I was a little 50-50 on this, but I'm sticking with it. Well, he has a new pick, and we're going to get to it here in just a second. There's a new mock draft out from Mel Kiper as well as Field Yates. And they do these exercises a lot where they alternate picks. So like, hey, Field Yates projects one. Well, now, Mel, who would you project in this situation? So it's not just a straight mock draft based on somebody's biases or whatever.
And did Mel text in this pick, RJ Choppy?
No, he did not text in this pick. That's for dang sure. Because he does not have a cell phone.
Why not?
That's just what he says. He doesn't have a cell phone. He says if you need him that badly, you can call his wife. And
wow.
This is, I worked with a guy, Kevin Kiley. He was the host of the Michael Irvin show, right? Kevin Kiley, man. He didn't have a cell phone either, and he didn't have an email address. If you wanted to get in touch with him, he gave you his house. He gave you his house phone where his wife lived in Virginia. And then she would call him at the hotel or a place that he was staying. He didn't want anybody to have his phone number. So she would get a hold of him that way.
So they lived in separate states?
Because he was here working. She didn't want to leave.
I have a number for Kiper.
Do you? Oh.
He must be his home phone. He has like four landlines. According to this SI article, he has like four landlines.
Why would you have four landlines?
So he can cut. So
you got a fax?
Like, here's one I do for interviews. Here's one I do to talk to people. Yeah. This is one, I guess, just like that.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
So there is a cell phone, but his wife manages it. He's been on this group chat with like Field Yates and Todd McShay and all these guys, right? And in a year and a half, they've been on this group chat. Mel's responded one time. That was a thumbs up emoji. In a year and a half. And they text like dozens of times every day.
Yeah.
But he doesn't use a cell phone. He goes, throughout the day, I don't want a cell phone or a call anywhere near me. I want to be able to get my work done. Now, I don't know how he's getting his work done without the cell phone. I'm sure he's making calls. That's what the four landlines are.
I mean, that's all the work he does if you read his scouting reports these days. So,
what?
Just calling other people.
Oh. Why are we talking about his mock on the radio?
Because I think calling people and finding out who they think the Cowboys will go to, I think, is more valuable than just about his scouting report. All right. So, we're going to go through this mock draft. It starts with Field Yates. So, he picks the odd numbers, and then Mel Kiper picks the even numbers. The Cowboys, this is a three-round mock. All of the Cowboys' picks are even numbers. So Mel Kiper is making all of these selections. First overall pick in this one, Cam Ward to the Titans. Mel Kiper is projecting Travis Hunter to the Browns. That's become a pretty popular projection at this point. And Travis Hunter would play receiver in all likelihood for Cleveland.
Oh.
Third pick, the Giants. Could they go Shedeur Sanders? No. Field Yates projects Abdul Carter. This is starting to settle in. That's kind of becoming a popular top three. There was
working out for the Giants today.
There was a lot of different discussion around the top three for several months. The last week, it feels like this is what people are calling now. Four, Will Campbell to the Patriots. Five, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan to the Jaguars. Six, Ashton Jeanty, Boise State running back to the Raiders. That feels like the one that's been locked in the longest now for about a month and a half. The Jets at 7 take Armand Membu, offensive tackle from Missouri. Jalen Walker, the tweener linebacker edge rusher from Georgia, goes to the Panthers. Number 9, Kellen Moore rescues Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. And that's Field Yates' projection. Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, goes to the Bears. And then the 49ers take Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle, Texas. Which, by the way, the 49ers are the biggest wild card ahead of Dallas to where they could take almost anything. And they could also be in the market to trade out and could have somebody jump in front of you and steal somebody if you want. So San Francisco's kind of a terrifying
they
one.
They feel like receiver there, too.
Yes. I mean, they could. They could do anything there, honestly, other than I would think quarterback. I think they are pretty committed to Purdy at this point. But pick 12 for the Cowboys. Mel Kiper's been projecting Omarion Hampton. His new selection is a wide receiver. It is not Tetaroa McMillan. It is Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden. He said, I thought about North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton, but the possibility of Golden's speed and great route running opposite CeeDee Lamb, as you can see some of the route running on the fan cam right now, just make too much sense. The Cowboys finally get some reliability at wide receiver 2 for quarterback Dak Prescott. They haven't had two wide receivers over 700 yards since Lamb and Amari Cooper both did it in 2021. And he's really talented. The spatial awareness, the ball tracking, the stop-start ability, he's got a really high ceiling as a route runner. The only problem is just it's not refined yet. And there are times where if he's not first in the progression, you kind of wonder, all right, how locked in is he right now? But, I mean, he had a massive game in that Arizona State game, caught the game-winning touchdown to send Cam Scatabum home crying to his ASU sorority girls. But I think
what a bad way to be going home crying.
But refinement to me, you didn't just describe refinement. You described focus to me if he's not involved first in the route.
So refinement is the bigger issue to me. There are a couple times where you just see, like, is he totally focused, though? I think you see both. The lack of refinement is thing, but all the traits are there to be really, really impressive.
I mean, you can see it.
Yeah,
he's shifty. He's explosive. Look at that.
And like,
that's good. You can put people on skates with that.
Yeah, and he's somebody who he'll attack the football. He's got good hands. I really, really like him. I wouldn't hate the pick. I do think McMillan's better, but Tet McMillan falls in this draft.
Who's your golden comp? You said Tet McMillan, Brandon Marshall.
So Matthew Golden, it didn't get a chance to play out. The player he looks like on tape to me is Henry Ruggs. But Henry Ruggs obviously didn't get a chance to really finish off his career because he finished his career.
Yeah.
You go through the rest of the mock, though, and Tet McMillan, it's become this free fall. McMillan ends up going, he's actually not even if you count Travis Hunter as receiver, McMillan's not even the third receiver off the board.
That's real quick, NFL.com has Chris Olave as Golden's comp.
Which Olave's
on NFL.com.
I don't totally see Olave. Olave's a stronger route runner to me. Golden's still not there. Yeah. But I mean, if you're trying to project out and say he could become that, but when Olave was coming out, he was really, really strong as a route runner.
I'll take Chris Olave.
The Chargers at pick 22 take Emeka Egbuka before Tet McMillan even goes off the board.
UConn center.
Wide receiver, Ohio State. Right. No. By the way, I did prove it while you were out. It is Khalid El-Amin. So it's Khalid. All right. Pick 25, the Houston Texans end up taking Tet McMillan. So
the level of petty this guy has.
You
want
to see me get in studio.
So CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud. I do want to see you get in studio. Tet McMillan goes 25 to the Texans, so CJ Stroud ends up with the target there. A projected trade. The Browns come up and take the Commanders pick, so the Commanders trade out of the first round. And then the Eagles with the last pick of the first round take Jihad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama. And Washington takes, I hate this, trying to pronounce his name, Donovan Ezeruwake. I can't do it, but he's the edge rusher from Boston College. Giants get their quarterback with their first pick in the second round. They take Tyler Shuck, the quarterback from Louisville.
Wow.
Drop down.
What's his face? Greg Cosell's guy.
Yeah, and Shuck is a guy who a lot of different people across the league think, there are different individual scouts who think he's the second best quarterback. Pick 44, Blue Star Special. The Cowboys select Siobhan Revel, corner from East Carolina.
To three knee injuries. Is that what's got going there?
He's coming off of a torn ACL, so you don't really have any tape on him from last season. But this is like size, speed, combo, like the height, weight, speed combo. The stuff he put on tape throughout his career at East Carolina is really impressive. You just don't have anything from last year because he tore his ACL. So I do like that he mentions here. He says Dallas has injury concerns at corner with Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland. Yes. Revel has his own coming off a torn ACL, but he's big and long, and he makes plays on the ball. Well, that doesn't matter if he's hurt.
Cowboys, baby.
Or he's not able to come back. So you look at this and you go, okay, you got a receiver, you got a corner. What else do the Cowboys need? What are they really missing? What's the blinking light left? Be that running back. Where's the running back going to come from? So you drop down to the third round, and at pick 76, Dallas Cowboys select Dylan Sampson.
That's right, baby.
Running back, Tennessee Volunteers.
Yes.
The Cowboys focused on other needs early, but they finally get their running back, and Sampson has good upside, ran for almost 1,500 yards and 22 touchdowns last season. If they were to come away with this haul, I don't think it's a bad haul at all. Like, I mean, if you were to get Dylan Sampson in the third, I think that's good value. I like Sampson. I think if you were to get Revel in the second, that is potentially a first round player, but again, you're just talking about injuries pushed him down for a reason, and he wasn't a super polished player. That Brian Broaddus would love that pick. He thinks Revel is fantastic, and he would have, I think there was a time Broaddus would have talked about taking him at 12. He likes him so much.
Tell us about him, Ralph.
Look, this would be great. We don't fumble enough, so I think this would be a really good opportunity to start giving the ball up a little bit more. Cut down on Dak's interceptions.
Sure.
That's for sure, by fumbling. No, he's a good player. He had a stretch where he would cough the ball up, but I think that was something to do with his pads. They kind of fixed that up. But
does he remind you of anyone? What's his style?
He's got a little power. I don't know his height and weight. He looks like
sturdy.
He looks sturdy. Like he's MJD? Not like Derrick Henry. Like who?
MJD?
No, he's taller than him.
No, he's taller than him, but I mean he's like shorter, like he's kind of a
Mixon?
Brick. So he's 5'8", he's 2'0", he's 200 at the combine. A lot of people think he played closer to like 205.
And what height?
5'8".
Oh.
So, but I mean, he's somebody who, like, he contributed in the passing game. He's somebody who, was prolific in the run game. He's a guy who people like, but again, it's the same question.
I mean, MJD was 5'7", 207.
The same question about.
He looks bigger than
my
him.
Comp was perfect.
The comp here is Brian Westbrook. That's the comp that NFL.com gives, which I don't think is a bad one.
He can catch like that?
I was about to say, Brian Westbrook is a better receiver to me, but yeah, he definitely had to show some of that given what Tennessee does.
You know, obviously, like, you know, the last, you're going to throw Kamara comps because the school, but Alvin's a better receiver.
Alvin's more of a bowling ball, too. Yeah. Bounces off, guys.
And the Shador Giants workout is going to be Thursday, not today.
And then really quickly on Matthew Golden, if that is the pick, because I know we've run through scouting reports on other guys. These are some of the notes I have on Golden. Body control and spatial awareness consistently stand out. He's got an alpha mentality. It shows up in his play style. He's got the requisite demeanor to be on an island against top corners. The issues are it's the inconsistencies with effort and focus. And he wins on traits right now, so there's a lack of polish as a route runner. But otherwise, everything is pretty, pretty good with Matthew Golden.
Below the belt on the home of the Cowboys, Draft 101 this Thursday in the building. The real thing next Thursday as we are all at different Pluckers locations. I'll be in Mesquite. Luka becomes number one, and are you ready for Nico's next big move? Final hour, Tolo Tuesday, after this.